This is the First Time Podcast.
Part reality series.
Part writer's masterclass. It's a podcast about the first time
you publish a book.
I'm Kate Mildenhall.
And I'm Catherine Collette. Welcome to The First Time.
Oh my God. Kate, it's been forever.
It's been far too long, but it's very exciting to see your smiling face on there.
I know, I speak very awkwardly because I have the run of the house today, so I'm in the kitchen, but I should have had my computer charging before, so I've chosen to do it now in this moment, which anyway.
No, I love it. I have also got the run of the house today because Adam has gone to IKEA. It's just, and I'm so glad I'm not only with one child. One child is you know, with other family, but he has gone to IKEA on this Easter Monday. And I.
Is he buying something specific?
Do you know what he has to do, Catherine? This makes it even worse. He purchased a whole kind of built-in robe, had it delivered because he didn't ever want to set foot in the IKEA, and half of it was the wrong size. So now he's got to put it on the roof, take it back, and go into IKEA and get the right stuff. Anyway, it's just, you know, sometimes.
Did he order incorrectly or did they send?
It's a point of contention. Not quite sure, but I have, you know, washed my hands of the whole affair. I'm just very glad I'm here and not there.
It's the worst.
Anyway. Talking about IKEA was not how we were going to start.
All right. So this is the beginning of season four, whole new season.
Season four.
I know. It's amazing. And we're not starting till April, which is a very lackadaisical approach for us.
It's true. Because we have just been laying about, really, the start of this year, haven't we? Fiddling our thumbs.
Epic, wasn't it? Last year was probably too much. This year will also be epic. It'll be epic in a different way. Do you want to talk about what the new format is going to be?
We realised perhaps that one of us was taking a little too long with their interviews, and we were serving you up, dear listeners, episodes that were frequently pushing over the 1 hour mark, which is not something we ever intended to do. So we are going to split things up this year. We're going to have 1 week on will be Catherine and me chatting in all the frank and silly ways in which we chat, which we know you enjoy. And then the next week will be an interview with one of our extremely impressive lineup of guests that we have for you in season four.
Which are pretty much all bedded down, aren't they?
They are.
Set down pretty quick. There's some really good guests. Who is there anyone in particular that you're super excited to be interviewing?
Oh, put me on the spot, Catherine. I couldn't even say. You know what I love? I love that we've got a mix of first-timers who, you know, who are being published this year, which is what we do, but that we have also gone into our wish list, each of us, and said, I really want to interview this person. It's not a publication year for them, but I want to interview them all the same. So there's some of those as well, which I'm very excited about. Have you got someone?
Helen Garner is going to be on our show. It's been like a wish list for a while, and we still haven't decided who is interviewing Helen.
Yeah, it will be an arm wrestle. But also, Helen, now you can't back out. Now that you've said yes, we'll now put it on the record for our listeners, and you absolutely you can't say no now. We're going to do something else too. We're going to be a little experimental.
We are. We are very excited about Instagram this year. I did wonder, once we had talked about doing more on Instagram, if we should really be doing TikTok. But
oh, my gosh.
I think we have to just realise that we're not that savvy, or do you have views on TikTok?
I do have views now because I think this should just be an experiment, right? Let's be really honest and frank that we don't know how to do a reel or any of those things. We're just going to experiment with you people, our dear listeners, because you have created for us a safe place and we feel safe doing this in front of you. But I saw Amy Suter Clark, who's got her new book, Girl 11, is coming out very soon with text. And which I have read an early copy of and is fantastic.
Because it's
she's on TikTok. She's doing TikTok. And she put it, she said something on Twitter the other day. I haven't looked at it. I don't know how it works because I spend so much of my time telling my 10 and 8-year-old that they can't be on TikTok and they can't look at TikTok and all the rest of it. But she said she put up like an unboxing video and it got 500 views overnight or something crazy. She has no followers or she didn't have any followers. I don't know. I don't even know how TikTok works. But
apparently the algorithms for TikTok are much better than the algorithms for other
Look, I'm willing to make a fool of ourselves on any and all mediums in an effort to help our listeners and ourselves understand more about this very tricky, awkward-y kind of part of the author experience.
And you have to see yourself on screen. I think that's got to be one of the biggest hurdles, isn't it, that you're looking at yourself.
It is. It is. We're in actual fact, we are going to try this right now. As our first experiment. We have never done this before. Listeners, we are currently getting out our phones. We're recording this on Easter Monday, so we're assuming, and we haven't been active at all on our Instagram, so we're assuming that no one is there. All right, Catherine, I looked up the instructions. So I have opened up the First Time Podcast. I am going to go into live. Do I just press the button? Oh, my gosh.
I can't even find messages on Instagram.
Okay. All right, so are you in yours? I'm going to press, oh, my gosh, I think it's happening. It's saying checking connection. I am now live. Hello, everyone. It's paused. Oh, hang on. No, it's not. It's live. Now, I need to add you. So I'm going to say, oh, invite. Invite.
It just came up. First time pod started a live video.
Can you see me?
Oh.
What are you doing? Okay, send request. Catherine Collette, come in here. Well, paused due to poor connection. It's going to make for awesome audio.
It's Catherine here, just coming in to save you from the ringing sound that lasts for the duration of our 15-second Instagram live attempt. We'll come back in when Kate has finally turned it off.
Hello to you all who are there. I think I've paused. Can you hear me? I'm reconnecting. Oh, you left. Where have you gone? Come back.
Sound off. I've turned the sound off. Okay. I was in. Thanks for joining.
Hi, team. Still live. I can see that two of you are watching. That's very exciting. This is an experiment for the First Time Podcast. I'm also recording, as you can see this. You will hear this in our first episode because Catherine and I don't know how to do this.
That was the word. That was a ringing
sound.
We're
just going to get better at it as we go along. I don't even know how to stop. I'm going to stop it. Yes, I want to end my live video. Okay. Oh, no, I want to keep it. Cancel. I'm going to keep that. All right. Wow, that was intense. Okay, I had poor internet there, so that is our first lesson.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. I can hear you and see you.
I actually turned it off because I think it was me that was making that loud screeching noise. We should have had more of a plan. Like we had planned up to going on it, but you actually have to have content. And the fact that Natasha Lester was watching freaked me out, and that's when I left.
That's true. Natasha, just so you know. That was intimidating. Let's see if we end up putting that incredible piece of audio and video up on our Instagram or not. I think it's good as a baseline data. You know, we're all about measuring, right?
Interesting to see how many views that compelling content will get. So possibly 50% was my microphone screaming, and the other 50% was you commenting on the nature of your internet connection. So if that's the kind of content you're into, check out our Instagram page.
Check it out. All right. Let's move on. Okay. We're only going to get better at Instagram Live. So tune back in here to check out how much better that gets.
Starting point. Too much content for a blow-by-blow, although it's been a long time between drinks. Truly. Let's do a few highlights. What are you working on? How much are you willing to say? What's happening with the mother fault? All of that stuff.
So, great question. Do you notice that's what people do when they're trying to think? They just say, great question. Thanks so much for your question.
Some people say it better than others. Some people say it so it feels like thinking time. Some people, when they say that, I genuinely am like, I've asked a really good question. So, had thought I was in that boat. You've shattered that illusion.
I am desperately trying to write my new book, book three, which I have done part of. I have done a very interesting thing in that I have sent off act one, so the first part, a draft, to my agent and basically said to her, I'm sending this to you so I can keep my ass moving. Please just respond with, this is wonderful, keep going, which is basically all we need to hear, right, to keep going. And that is what she has done, which is fantastic. To my publisher, if you are listening, no, you can't see it yet, and I apologize for that. You'll have to wait till the end. So I've done some binge writing sessions. We had some time at Musk where we do our retreat. I've got some more binge writing coming up. But in between, I am in struggle town trying to get it down. I'm basically doing like 20-minute bursts of writing in between just life admin. And because the book world has opened up again and I've got events and things again, which is fantastic and thrilling, and I'm so damn pleased. And also the UK publication of The Motherfault is coming up. So there's still a lot of Motherfault admin.
The challenge is more of a life management thing than I'm hitting my head against the brick wall.
It's definitely a life management thing. I'm really into the story. I know where it's going. I've done heaps of research. I continue to do kind of hands-on research for it as well, which is really exciting. But, yeah, it's like bum in seat kind of stuff.
And from how you know what you're going to write each day, do you have key moments that you're writing towards? I imagine you haven't plotted it all out, but maybe you have.
Yeah, no, this is really interesting. This time I've done that thing, you know, where I do an outline, like just literally use outline in Word. And this time I do really kind of know where it's going, and I've kind of got, they're not chapter headings, just key scene kind of headings. And yeah. Some of them have nothing written under them and some of them have a little bit, and I'm just kind of writing into each of those as I go. But I am trying for the first time multiple perspectives. So that's been a big shift in the drafting already, because I had to chuck out about 40,000 words, which was sad.
So okay. I never want to do multiple perspectives again.
You've nailed this multiple perspective thing. You're really on it. Where are you up to with yours?
So much inefficiency in my second one, which is with Mandy, my editor, at the moment. So I'm working on a third that I'm not going to say much about, except that I have a great recommendation for a book and an approach. So the
Tell
book
us.
Is called The 90 Day Novel. Mm-hmm. You will be familiar with this. It's by Alan Watt. It was the major topic of conversation at our last writer's retreat, wasn't it?
It absolutely was.
So basically, I mean, the name kind of gives it away. You write a novel in 90 days, but the way it works is each day you have a task and you just go day by day. It's 2 hours work each day. The format is generally 6 5-minute prompts, 30 minutes of stream of consciousness, and there's prompt questions if you need it. And then you have an hour where you work on structure. I think that's the format for the first 4 weeks. And then you go into the actual writing process. It's incredible. It's so good. It gives you a plan. I'm 100% into it, completely sold.
It's so impressive because you don't necessarily get this kind of feedback. Like you got this from our other friend, Kim, who got it from Sarah Centilles. Kim's been doing it, loving it. Sarah Centilles was doing it, loving it. I have not heard a bad word about this approach.
It's just so good. Like it really, and it's hard to describe why. I guess you spend that first month filling out the world.
Yeah.
But filling out the world is in getting to know the characters. You write a lot of stuff that no one will ever read. He talks a lot about how sometimes at the start, all you have is a couple of very vague images or moments. You work a lot with the theme or what's the character's dilemma. And even the way they frame dilemma is really interesting, because the dilemma will be essentially a problem, but there's a falsehood contained within the problem. So the problem is, I want love and connection, for example, but the falsehood is, I think people won't love me as me, therefore I should try and be someone else. Yeah. And so that the novel is driven around this idea of addressing the falsehood, so that fundamental premise doesn't change, but you have to ultimately, or the character has to ultimately, change their perception of the way that they will achieve. It's incredible. So 2 hours a day, some days if I'm working, I'll do a half day. So I'll do three of the 6 5-minute prompts and then kind of, you know, a bit of stream of consciousness or structure, whichever. I really have, which has surprised me. I probably, because I'm doing it in bursts, I'll do say if I was doing a 1 day, it's meant to be 2 hours, I would do 6 5-minute prompts, which is about 30 minutes, but I reckon that takes you longer than that. And then I'll do 2 25-minutes of whatever, but hard writing. And then I'll do a 10-minute drawing. And I reckon that adds up to 2 hours, basically, even though it's the minutes.
In all of those kind of theories about basically that you just have to be with your work every day, I mean, it's very much that, isn't it? It's also just giving you purpose to being there every day. You don't have to think about what I'm going to write.
The other thing it has in terms of an outline, so you kind of work on a structure, and it's not a Michael Haig structure, it's like a 3-act structure. But within the 3 acts, I just have a spreadsheet, and I think the way he says to do it is just to have a page, like a physical page, and you just write like essentially a scene that would go in, which is kind of what you're talking about as well,
yeah,
a scene that would go in that act. Even that is really good because you have go through this generative process and kind of come up with, oh, this would be a good scene, like this should happen, and then you can kind of, yeah, it's.
I like that. I admit, because I bought it as well. I bought the ebook version, and of course, I didn't go back to the start and do it as the process, but in skimming through, I did some exercises and had a look at his approach, and very permission giving. Really like just his. Okay.
It sounds very formulaic, but it's actually very flexible.
Yeah.
And it's hard to buy. You have to buy it on Amazon. I tried through multiple, even international independent bookshops. I also bought the Kindle version because I wanted it straight away, but I haven't even got it on my Kindle. I've got it on my computer because for each day you're really only reading sort of 2 pages.
Yeah.
Like it's quite manageable if you only buy the ebook version.
Okay, you heard it here, people. Catherine Collette recommending the 90-day novel. We will check back in at the end of 90 days to see if you've finished your novel.
I'm going to have to stop when I get my editing stuff back. But I think for a get the first draft down, it is revolutionary.
Love it.
What is your – do you have some recommendations?
Yes, well, while you were – you and Kim were doing your 90-day novel, I was deep in George Saunders' A Swim in the Pond in the Rain, which was also a recommendation from the last Word Cave I did with Sarah Centilles, but, of course, also everywhere. So it's George Saunders, him giving his masterclass, basically the class that he teaches on writing fiction at Syracuse, but – in a book. So it's five Russian short stories, and he does this extraordinary analysis of each one as kind of a chapter in between, in which he unpacks how fiction works, basically. And you can tell that this is, I mean, I think I've actually been thinking that I like to listen to and read Saunders talking about writing, maybe even more so than I actually enjoy his writing. And I enjoy his fiction writing very, very much. But I think he's just got this wonderful voice. And I've heard people say that the audiobook of A Swim in the Pond in the Rain is also fantastic because it's just he does it and he's just talking you through it. But just the approach, the first short story that he does, it's page by page. So literally you read a page of, I don't know if it's Tolstoy, whoever it is, you read a page of the short story, then you read a page of Saunders talking about what just happened in terms of character or dilemma or dialogue, or it's just incredible. I really, really loved it.
And so there is a universality in that, like he's obviously dissecting four short stories, but
yeah,
but it becomes applicable.
Absolutely. And he talks about his own process as well. Just I had to kind of eke it out. I was giving myself 1 a week as kind of inspo for my writing. And then while we were on retreat, I just couldn't hold back and I finished the rest. But I think he's very humble, I suppose, is the word, in the way he talks about it, like, take it or leave it. This is my take. These are some of the things that I think they may work for you, and you probably already know them, but here's just another way of talking about them. And I think it's that. That's what I always love in reading those writing process books. We know the stuff, but every time it comes back to you in a different form, you know, one of those ideas sticks. And I particularly like his stuff on iteration and just this idea of writing being working on the line again and again, just, you know, little bit by little bit, changing those words and the order and the rhythm and until you find the perfect meaning and then moving on. It's just, he says it obviously much better than that, but I really recommend it. George Saunders, Swim in the Pond in the Rain. It's a goodie.
Related to that, Tegan Bennett Daylight's The Details. Oh, my God. That's a book I kept seeing places. So it is basically a book that she has written about kind of, well, it's essays, I guess.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is reading-based, like it has sort of a similar feel. It's sort of hard to describe. My interpretation, which I wouldn't agree with having post-read it, but before reading it, I thought it was going to be a book of essays about things she had read and the influence that it had. Maybe it is that. Anyway, it's incredible. I have talked for ages about starting to write to authors whose work I really admire. Yes. And I wrote her an email and was like, thank you for writing this book. It's just, it's incredible. It's, and I imagine it has similar elements. I mean, they're probably saying very, very different things.
Yeah. But actually, Tegan's got an incredible essay about Saunders, I think, in that.
Oh, yeah,
in
she does. That's well. True.
Yeah. Side note, we should be making a list this year of the writers that you write to. So far, you've done Tegan Bennett Daylight. Anyone else?
No. I peaked there. but I'm going to keep doing it. Well, there's so many good books. I honestly have read over the summer holidays. I think I just consumed so much. We ended up having to go. This was not part of the Melbourne lockdown, but we were late coming back. Well, we weren't late. We were in New South Wales when they did that snap lockdown. And we didn't get back in time for the thing where you could just get tested and then if you were negative, go out in the world. Like we had to have a 2-week lockdown at home.
I cannot believe what has happened to your summer holidays over the last 2 years.
Well, that is the third time in a row we've had a manic pack up from Brawley, like we need to leave immediately. One, bushfires, COVID, my dad being sick. Like I have a real fear of it. So I'm not sure if we'll go back to Brawley.
No, maybe. The world. Yeah, just branch out into other parts of New South Wales.
But I should go back and look at the books that I read because most of them were Australian and there were just, I felt like I was just getting great hit after great hit.
Look behind me there. Look at those stacks. There's so many good books. It's really hard to even know where to begin. Tell us something else. Give us another recommendation of what you have been consuming, please.
Okay. This is a podcast I just started listening to. It's called Dead Eyes. It's about a guy whose name I should have written down, but he is what you would call a working actor. He starts the podcast basically by saying, you would have seen me on this random commercial that you've never heard of. Yeah. I had a minor speaking part in which I said, good afternoon, sir, in this movie. Like, so he works, but he has not hit the big time. In the year 2000, he was fired by Tom Hanks from the set of Band of Brothers. So Band of Brothers, major movie. He had this, I think his name's Colin or something. I won't refer to him as accents. I'm not 100% sure. Anyway, he had a small speaking part and the day before he was due to go on set and act in it, he got a call from his agent saying, you've got to get to London now. Tom Hanks has viewed your audition tape and he's not sure if he wants you in Band of Brothers. He thinks you have dead eyes.
What?
And so it is absolutely hilarious. It's got one of the best openings I've ever heard in terms of just like the intro to the podcast. He's trying to uncover how this happened, why it happened. He unravels the impact that it had on him. I was driving in the car when I was listening to the first episode. I had to pull over. I was crying. Like I was a menace on the road. It is so funny. So he's a guy that is big in the improv world in New York. That's kind of where he has made it in life. But it has a real, although it is so specific about what it's about, he manages to give it like it becomes about all those chance moments that go wrong, about humiliation, about like it's I cannot recommend it enough. It's really, really good and really, really funny.
Okay. I am immediately adding that to my list. That sounds very, very good. On improv, Catherine, is there something that you wanted to tell us?
Yeah. I'm starting I turned 40 two months ago. And so I have signed up for an improv course at the Improv Conspiracy Theatre, I think is what it's called. Someone from our writers group, Meg, was going to come with me, but she couldn't get in the same time slot. So she's going to do the May course. I'm going to do the April course. And then if we love it, we'll do a course after that.
I love it.
Yeah. I think it'll be fun. I don't think I would want to perform in front of other people, although they do have a show at the end, which I will be inviting precisely zero people to. But I think it would be fun.
And record it. And then I'll release it as a secret episode.
That's right. We could do a live.
Yes.
In a great live, wouldn't it? A really visual thing that is hard to see.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to, because I know that this is something you've been wanting to do for a long time. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how this plays out.
Have you got a recommendation?
I've got one more thing that I wanted to mention. It is a piece in the current Griffith Review, which is Griffith Review number 71, Remaking the Balance, which I bought because everything looked amazing. And then I very promptly flipped straight to the back and only read Nadi Simpson's piece. I've only read that so far. And Nadi Simpson is a Uluru writer who we interviewed last year, and I just was such a joy to interview her. She wrote Song of the Crocodile, which is on all of the awards shortlists, as it rightly should be at the moment. But her piece is an essay. It's called Gifts Across Space and Time, and it melted my brain. It is so good. It's about the idea of it's called the speak listen trade. So it's about kind of shared storytelling and respect and generosity and listening to others. But what she does technically on the page in terms of moving the reader is just, it's something I've never experienced at all. So I think that everyone should go out and get the Griffith Review just to, if only, and there's a lot of other extraordinary people in this issue, but if only to read that essay, Gifts Across Space and Time by Nadi Simpson. It's just really, really impressive. So that is my second recommendation. And your second recommendation, Catherine?
Mine is, and this is going to become a little bit belatedly, Melbourne Comedy Festival's on at the moment.
Hurrah for live comedy.
It didn't happen last year, which is very unfortunate. Carney and I went on a date night on Saturday night, and we went to see Jack Druce, kind of like the word Bruce, but starts with a D, Jack Druce.
Excellent.
Now, he is a comedian that a guest on our show last year, McKinley Valentine, talked about. McKinley Valentine is a newsletter writer, and she recommended Jack's newsletter, which I think he started in lockdown, but maybe he had before. It's a fabulous newsletter, so that recommendation is time independent. Sign up to his newsletter. It's really good. But he's doing a comedy festival show at the moment. He's not a huge comedian. There were probably 20 to 30 people in the audience. It's still going. I would say it is the funniest show I've seen at a comedy festival. It is just incredible. So if you ever get the chance to see Jack Druce, go and see him. He is absolutely hilarious. Not as slick as some of those like massive comedians, yeah, but genuinely just hilarious. Really, really good.
Highly Catherine, recommend. Bringing the funny recommendations this week in our opening episode.
I have just gone from miserable to laughter. It's been really nice.
But next week, or next episode, because we're going to drop you two to get you started, is with someone else who will find themselves on lots of awards shortlists, I'm sure, with Evelyn Araluen, who has just released Drop Bear. And our conversation, she also melted my brain. She is so damn smart. And I was deeply intimidated before I went into the interview, deeply intimidated when I came out as well. But just such interesting stuff to say on language and on Evelyn's also the co-editor of fiction at Overland, and so she's got heaps to say on that, and grant funding, just really great interview, really great conversation. So that is coming up next.
Did you ever, this is just a side note, did you ever enter that, because sometimes I think short story competitions is like a fake thing that's a money-making scheme. Not Overland, obviously.
Not
but
Overland.
But there's the Best of Times short story competition and you pay like, it's not heaps, like $15 to go in it. But it's just a person who's running it. Like it's
just
not
one person, random. Yes.
It's not like a business. It's not attached to anything. It's just
do you
like,
win money? Where do you get published?
Maybe you do win some money. Yeah, it's not a large amount of money.
Didn't someone tell us once that it's harder to get a short story published or win a short story award in this country than getting a novel published?
Yeah, I think that's true. So maybe we should start a short story competition.
The First Time Podcast short story competition. You know, it's potentially a thing. We could make a reel about it. Is that what reels are for? Stay tuned to find out.
You can find the show notes for today's episode on our website, thefirsttimepodcast.com. Get in touch with us via Instagram or Twitter at @thefirsttimepod, or you can leave us a message on the website. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to the First Time Podcast. We record this podcast virtually on the unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past and present, and we extend that to our First Nations guests and listeners. Sound production by Phoebe 80, who we can employ because of the wonderful support of our patrons via Patreon. Thank you so much for making this podcast possible.